January that she would not participate in Thursday's debate unless Donald Trump was also there, making Ron DeSantis the only candidate who had committed to the event. "I've done 5 debates," Nikki Haley told CBS News. "Donald Trump has done none. I want him on the stage. I welcome him when he says he's going to do it. We'll be there, but until then, I'm not going to bother." Donald Trump has avoided debating his GOP rivals in any of the 5 primary debates, citing his dominant lead in the opinion polls. Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley were the only 2 candidates to participate in last week's debate, hosted by CNN in Des Moines, Iowa, just ahead of the Iowa caucuses. National broadcaster ABC News has also covered this story and tells us more. Former President Donald Trump coasted to a strong victory in Monday's Iowa caucuses, which, despite depressed turnout amid a brutal weather, saw him embraced by a majority of the state's Republican base. Now Trump's gearing up to battle directly with former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley in New Hampshire, looking to quash what appears to be her best hope at beating him in his quest for a 3rd straight presidential nomination, sources in Donald Trump's orbit told ABC News, offering a glimpse into his immediate next moves on the trail. "The game plan is always to win, and whether it's scorched earth or highlight the major deficiencies in her record, that's what we can expect the next week," according to one former campaign official who remains in touch with the Trump's current campaign team and who asked not to be named to share internal discussions. Donald Trump has a chance to ending this race and putting the final nail in the coffin of this presidential primary in New Hampshire, the former official said. "He's not one to leave artillery in the gun," he said. Monday night's results saw Donald Trump clinch a thorough victory in Iowa, taking more than 50% of the vote and winning every county except for one. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley, who were separated by only a couple of percentage points for 2nd and 3rd place respectively, ultimately trailed Donald Trump by about 30% each, despite months of pitching themselves as better alternatives to win the White House. Allies of Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley were quick to note the results came out of just one state at the start of the 2024 presidential race, though it is one state that receives outsized attention, and arguably few voters were making their voices heard. Around 110,000 people voted in the Republican caucuses in Iowa, which was about 60% of the turnout in the last contested caucuses in 2016. And even as the vote totals and entrance polls suggested that Donald Trump continues to have problems with more moderate and younger voters and in more educated and less rural areas, his win showed that the base of the Republican Party remains with him. Donald Trump is favored to win upcoming primaries in New Hampshire and South Carolina, but both states offer different quirks that theoretically provide openings for Nikki Haley on a narrow path towards competing with him through the rest of the primary season, according to observers and experts. Independents and people registered as undeclared, who typically lean more moderate, are allowed to vote in New Hampshire's primary and in South Carolina's primary, where Donald Trump has a 30-point edge in 538 polling average, and is seen as potentially more hospitable to Nikki Haley than Iowa, given her existing connection to voters as a former governor of South Carolina. Donald Trump and Nikki Haley have already engaged in tit-for-tat attacks, with Trump casting aspersions on Haley's intelligence and labeling her a globalist, and the South Carolinian depicting the former president as an agent of chaos, while still saying she would pardon him if she elected and he's convicted of a crime. He denies any wrongdoing and declining to rule out if she'd be his running mate. Also, ABC News and WMUR are cancelling their planned Republican primary debate in New Hampshire on Thursday, 18th of January, citing a lack of candidate participation. Our intent was to host the debate coming out of the Iowa caucuses, but we always knew that would be contingent on the candidates and the outcome of the race in Iowa, an ABC News spokesperson said in a statement. The decision comes shortly after a deadline set by ABC News and New Hampshire TV station WMUR for both former President Donald Trump and former United Nations Ambassador Nikki Haley to respond to their invitations to the debate by Tuesday afternoon, 16th of January. But neither campaign confirmed that they would attend the debate. Early on Tuesday, 16th of January, in the wake of Trump's dominating the Iowa caucuses, Nikki Haley said in a statement that she would debate only Donald Trump or President Joe Biden, suggesting she would skip a showdown with rival Ron DeSantis in New Hampshire ahead of the New Hampshire primary on 23rd of January. "We've had five great debates in this campaign," the former South Carolina governor said. "Unfortunately, Donald Trump has ducked all of them. He has nowhere left to hide. The next debate I do will either be with Donald Trump or with Joe Biden, and I look forward to it." Nikki Haley's statement came after a third-place showing in Iowa's caucuses, where she got 19% of the vote, behind Ron DeSantis with 21% of the vote, and Donald Trump with 51%.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, and my guest speakers, as always, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser. Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and Brother Yasser, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Welcome to the program.
Muhammad Javad, inshallah you are well.
Thank you very much. So, one of those movies actually with a religious theme that we try to criticize was The Pope's Exorcist, and we're going to continue that. This is a movie directed by Julius Avery, produced in 2023. Let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, and then we'll be back with its criticism. Don't go away.
How long will this take?
It is hard to say. Hours? Days, maybe? This demon is very strong. The boy won't last long. What we need to do is to find out his name in order to exorcise it. That is the only way we can save the boy.
How do we do that?
With prayer. Constant prayer. The demons, they are self-preserving. They do not understand suffering. Eventually, he will give himself up because he cannot stand the pain of the prayer.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Yasser, my guest speakers, helping me to criticize the movie The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, let me start with you. In this part of the movie, there's a conversation between the priest and the father nearly at the end of the movie. And the priest asks the father, well, how long will exorcism take? How is it done?
Mm.
And the father's response is, it depends.
Yeah.
Well, this demon is too strong. First, we have to find his name. Then we can exorcise and save the boy.
Yeah.
It's the only way to exorcise. This is what he responds. They also need each other to confess and absolve each other, as you can see in the movie, right?
Yes.
Like at the last minute, like the father asked the priest, like, please absolve me of my sins, for I've sinned. Why the confession? What's the relationship between confession and exorcism, even in the last minute? Is it rational at all? I mean, the whole concept of confession.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I mean, there are two cases here. If you're looking at confession itself is one thing. If you're looking at it from with their perspective in the movie is another thing. Mm-hmm. So confession is from a Christian theology. It's when you submit your sins and to God, mm-hmm. right? And yes. you confess your sins to God and God absolves you of your sins. I mean, obviously, we are required in every religion, I'm assuming, that you need to confess your sins to God. But only Christianity, as far as I know, it gives you the green light that your sins are forgiven. How would we know? Mm-hmm. Does God speak to anybody that says, okay, this guy's, you know? So we've always been told to seek forgiveness, ask Allah to forgive us, confess our sins to Him, and it's up to Him to answer and accept and forgive or repent or not. That's up to Him,
mm-hmm.
right? But we obviously with the hope that He does. So with the Christianity took it to a new level where they said, no, the priest has that power to dissolves you of all your sin, which seems like really stupid to me.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, we're not going to sit here and argue
that.
It's
like God's mission or God's, let's say, work is somehow conferred to the priest.
It's not just God's. He gave the will and the freedom to. It's like this, the concept of freeing and dissolving someone of their sin from the Christian theology is actually a very dangerous concept,
mm-hmm.
because which means is that you can do whatever crimes you want. You can exactly. commit whatever you want, and in the name of God,
you can come and like go yeah, to the church on Sunday and ask for.
No, not just on Sunday. You can walk anytime to the red box and confess your sin. And then you're free.
And
then you walk out. So basically what they're doing is they're giving you free light, green card, to go commit sins and do crimes. Mm-hmm. This is what it is. So it's a very dangerous concept. And also it's a numbing concept.
Not to mention the money that they pay actually for their absolution. Absolution, right? Like the money they give, does it
I mean, they don't. When you go to the confession, you don't have to pay anyway.
Yeah.
It's a free of charge, you know what right. I mean? I mean, you can pay the church as a donation, but it's a free of charge service that you walk into box and you confess your sins. So I said it's a mind-numbing idea. It's a green card for a crime to commit. So this is like I said, I don't want to expand on the concept of confession. As far as the movie goes, we also have that concept as well, Islamically speaking, that if you want to perform something ritual to seek closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. whether you want to write a talisman or, I don't know, dua or something, you need to be pure, in a pure, purified state. Mm-hmm. Like, and you see that some of the people, they would even change their room into white, they would have a shower before they do it, they would pray seek istighfar, you know, they put essence and stuff like that, they perfume their room.
So there needs to God.
Yeah, so there needs to be a sense of purity when mm-hmm. you talk to God. And even in, I think there's a hadith that says, before you talk to Allah, ask for forgiveness first.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to communicate with the pure, so you need to be pure as well. So in the movie, I think this concept was trying to also be there. So we're trying to perform something holy. Mm-hmm. Thus, we will need to purify ourselves and dissolve ourselves of our sins.
That's an interesting point. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
Who is Rosalia?
She is a girl that they should have helped.
The demon is using her memory to deceive me.
How does it know these things?
It can sense our guilt, and it uses it against us as a distraction. That boy, he does not have long before he expires. We need to find out the name of this demon. Knowing his name, it weakens them.
I didn't mean to hurt him.
I understand. See here, I have marked this page for you. No, not.
It is in Latin.
Close enough to Spanish. Prayer has more power in Latin.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my guest speaker, Sayyid Abdullah, and brother Yasser, helping me criticize the movie The Pope's Exorcist, directed by Julius Avery, produced in 2023. Brother Yasser, in that part of the movie, the father marked a prayer or a verse in the Bible for the priest to follow and read when confronting the demon, when they're about to actually exorcise the demon out of the poor child. The priest says, but it's in Latin.
Mm.
Knowing that the priest is Spanish, the father replied, Latin prayers have a stronger power. Is this the same for every religion? Like, for example, in the case of Islam, for example, Arabic works the same way as Latin does for the Christians, right? Well, I mean, reciting the prayers, for example, in the Quran in Arabic, does it have the same effect?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, the discussion is on the concept of words being symbols of a reality higher than itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I remember there was a particular scholar, I think a couple of years ago, I had a discussion with him regarding certain treatment of psychological ailments and psychological diseases. And he has a very particular, specific, and a unique method in that he uses dua to treat people. Mm-hmm. But he has a specific method and a methodology behind it. So I asked him this question once, and I asked him that, you know, in English you have the word God. He says, no, you never use the word God. Always use the word Allah. Always say it in Arabic. Don't even use it in Farsi. Don't even say Khuda.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the effect as the Arabic does. So in this case, it's the same. That Arabic, whether it is... That's even in Islamic culture, we are told, even if you don't understand what you are reading in the glorious Quran, read it in Arabic. Listen to it in Arabic.
We do the same, actually, when saying the prayers.
And for example, the Salah has to be done in Arabic.
Yes.
There is no other way. There are other reasons for that. For example, the words in Arabic find an equivalent for it in other languages is next to impossible. Even the word Allah has no equivalent in any language.
Mm-hmm.
In any language, there is no equivalent exactly to what that word means.
Yes.
But again, what the priest says in that particular sense is valid in terms that if the original language of the Bible, if, again, the big discussion, if... Which is very unlikely that Jesus did speak Latin. But the apostles...
It was Aramaic.
Aramaic or Hebrew even.
Yeah.
More likely Hebrew because he was a Jewish prophet, right?
Exactly.
So it was mainly Hebrew. But even if that Latin, which may have been the closest or the first translation of those particular... Oh, it was a prayer that was originally written in Latin by, for example, a saint.
Mm-hmm.
Someone close or one of the disciples, or disciple of the disciple rather.
Yeah.
Yes, it may have a particular impact that... Reading it in other languages may not. Not to say other languages don't have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
It says that the true nature or getting closer to that higher reality which this word symbolizes is better via the original in usul, called the ja'al, or the coining of that particular word in that particular language.
I see. Thank you very much. Let's take a short break by listening to another part of the movie, The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. Then we'll be back with his criticism. Stay with us.
The exorcist becomes possessed himself.
Fray de Ojeda.
You know he is the man who convinced Queen Isabella of the need for an inquisition. So that means from the time he is possessed in 1475, everything that happens after this is the work of the devil. Centuries of persecution and torture. The worst abuses of the Inquisition, all started by the friar and done in the name of God, by the devil. The Vatican must have known this. The church covered it up. and I buried the truth here.
Your sins will seek you out. The construction work must have freed the demon.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program. We are criticizing the movie The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery with Brother Yasser and Sayyid Abdullah. Sayyid Abdullah, the father is reading a couple of century old book about exorcism obtained from the dead exorcist in the mansion near the end of the movie, as you can see, that the Inquisition in 1475. Yep. This is what it happened a long, long time ago, and in the history of the church, of course, which was disgracing the church, was the work of the devil himself, as they claim in the movie, because he managed to possess a father or a priest and an exorcist that time, who started the Inquisition. Well, do you first of all agree with this reading of or the claim purported in this movie? Isn't it a kind of desperate attempt by the church to acquit the church of the heinous crimes in the name of God that happened in those times under the disguise of Inquisition?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely there has to be something in the background happening, because like the church is very calculated. They don't just do stupid things like that. Mm. If you look at their history, even before the Inquisition, they were like under the control of the government itself. Mm-hmm. So they were never separate by the, as an individual entity that really works for God. It's rather just trying to serve their own political movement and the country that they serve. Mm-hmm. So definitely during the Crusade times, in the Inquisition, they committed like so much crimes.
Yeah.
And until today, mind you, even a lot of priests today, they go with a lot of pedophilia, with a lot of crimes they commit, and they just get unnoticed. So mm-hmm. obviously, at the end of the day, especially back in the day, it was easier just to blame it on the devil mm-hmm. and blame it on Satanism and blame it on possession.
Right.
And you get away with it. So, and people would swallow it, because this is what they fed people.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the whole concept of, you know, being possessed and exorcism. So yeah, it could be one of the reasons that they used to cover up their sins mm-hmm. and their crimes. And like I said, even now when their crimes are committed, no one seems to care. Like they would take someone to court and then you don't hear about it.
Yeah.
It just gets under the carpet. No one actually gets to see something done. So the church is not new to such acts. So definitely it's one, at least we can say one of the, what do you call it? One
scandals?
Of the not just scandals, like one of the methods that they have in their arsenal to cover up the sin. And I think even the media picked up on this, and people also picked up on this, that whenever you do something stupid, a claim insanity mm-hmm. and you're free.
Yeah.
So I think they've done the same.
Thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah, and thank you very much, Brother Yasser. And thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio, in which we try to criticize the movie The Pope's Exorcist, produced in 2023, directed by Julius Avery. And inshallah, in the upcoming episodes, we are going to deal with another movie with a religious theme, if I'm not mistaken, that is Seventh Son. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Whatever you do, you only do because God allows.
Did he allow that?
Father Gabriele Amort. On the night of June 4th, you performed an exorcism.
That was not an exorcism. The majority of cases do not require an exorcism.
98% are recommended by him to doctors and psychiatrists.
The other 2%, I call it evil.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Here is a beautiful maxim from the Holy Prophet's 10th infallible heir, Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace be upon him. Buffoonery is the amusement of the fool and the action of the ignorant.
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/en.
Palestinian women.
Part 2.
The Women's Affairs Center in the Gaza Strip is concerned with media. It has a unit for television production and documentary movies. Many young Palestinian women start their careers from this place. The center organizes media courses regularly to improve the skills of the trainees so that they become able to work in this field.
The Women's Affairs Center has started training since 1995. We started our own activities by a Canadian producer who trained a group of 15 girls. It was a year and a half of training on documentary production. However, we first renovated the center, implemented for the strategic planning. Then we started a 200-hour training course for some young women who wanted to learn production, shooting, and editing. Our first experience included 12 young women. Then the next year, the number increased to be 20. A year after, the applications were about 100. And we started holding entrance exams and other exams for the candidates. We would also select the best trainees and the ones we feel they would carry on in this field.
I chose to join the Women's Affairs Center by a recommendation of a friend. I was recommended to join it to grow the talent I already have, which is production and television. I went there and registered for training courses for a year and a half. Then, at the end of this year, a movie was produced, or it was a documentary that was done as a production experience.
Here is a group of young women who are being trained in many kinds of television skills, like voice, filming, lighting, and production.
Hi,
We asked the center to hold these courses because we needed a staff for dramas in the movie. We wanted to know how to create drama in the movie, so it was not a regular shooting. It had to be professional.
I'm the camera woman of drama and documentary films. I was the camera woman of Notice and The Ways, two drama films. I'm also one of the editors of the film Where Are My Stuff?
From the first places, I grew up in a sports house and was brought up doing sports. My family was and is still supporting me. They are the ones who encouraged me in this field. This has made me more courageous and honest. My father, may Allah grant him health, is the one who advises me and discusses everything with me. My father and I are close friends, and I consult him about everything. He tells me what to do without being persistent.
Actually, my family is very proud of me. I worked on the movie Hope Remains a Title and won first place, and that was the first movie I won first place for in the Cinema and Art Production Festival. Since then, everyone started supporting me and telling me what to do. They gave me the choice to go anywhere.
There's a story for my journey. Leaving home to office means traveling from east the strip to the west. This path was a minefield for me. As soon as I reached my office, I went on air and reported news happening on my way there. There were cars bombed on my way and citizens killed. One time, Israel hit a market on the same road, Omar al-Mukhtar Street. So the way itself was a story for me. Leaving home and reaching office was martyrdom. Reaching office meant I had a new life. During the war, we didn't know the source of the shelling. There was shelling by tanks, planes, and boats. That was a really wild war, as the only people moving in streets were either fighters or journalists. Press men were bombed either by targeting their vehicles or their offices. We were targeted in Al Alam Channel or Media Group Company with a rocket during work. They didn't consider the existence of journalists in the place, though there were press signs like TV press. The targets were journalists who represent media, and they wanted to silence us. Personally speaking, that war was a media war. Massacres and the killing of the innocent was broadcasted live. I think that holding trials for Israeli leaders or issuing arresting warrants for them by some European courts was motivated by media records. There were warrants of arrest or deprivation of entering some countries. These courts depended on the testimony of journalists. Thus, Israel realized how dangerous a Palestinian journalist could be and what are they capable of to highlight the Palestinian cause and suffering. And also to show that war aims at killing the innocent and not ending the resistance, or terrorism, as they call it. The main goal was killing Palestinians. The bombing was random and shallow. They executed massacres, used white phosphorus, and burned people. No everyone was targeted in the strip, either directly or indirectly.
The Palestinian media is a part of the national Palestinian resistance. So everyone is engaged in those clashes. In every Palestinian confrontation during the past 50 years, journalists were in the front with people sacrificing their lives. They were a target of Israeli assassinations. Therefore, this is a historical evidence for the Palestinian media. Even during the last Israeli aggression on the Strip, a number of journalists were targeted and murdered.
I would say something my family may not like. I was destined to have a new life twice after the first and second wars on Gaza. If there's a third one, I will be a martyr. I keep wondering why I'm still alive up till now. I was facing death more than one time.
It is the first time to come here after the war. Those memories are ugly, but at the same time, make us feel how strong we are. This place was bombed, and seconds later, we came here again. Some of us refused to get down. This makes me proud of the journalists of Gaza and Palestine, proud of the cameramen and work crews. We are really strong that a rocket was shelled here directly. We were standing here in this direction. We were shooting here with our cameras when the rocket fell here directly on this building. Of course, the destruction remains are still here of what happened in the war. Practically speaking, the moment I would leave home those days, leaving meant we were going towards death. However, when this place was hit by a drone rocket, we started waiting for the F-16 to come. Actually, we turned it into a joke between us and a good spirit. Guys, where would the rockets come from? This direction or that one? This plane or that one? After all, we wanted to work and convey our message. We were scared, but we controlled it and got over it. I would feel I'm on duty and asked to go out and tell the world about what happens and shoot everything to transform the suffering of my nation. If I didn't do this, a mother would lose her children and the child would lose her family with no one knowing about them. Another woman would suffer regardless of being a mother or a sister or a daughter. At the end, it's a duty. It's a testimony for every female journalist in Palestine and Gaza in particular. They are strong. We have unbelievable determination that words cannot express, but we lived that a second time during the Second War. I also confirm that we're going to live the same if there happens any aggression on Gaza. None of the female journalists would back away. We became stronger with more experience.
Isra has worked in this field since she graduated from university. She was always in the thick of the action. She is known for showing humanitarian news features to the world. Isra has won the award for the best TV correspondent in the Islamic world.
It was something great. I didn't know about that contest. Those people were following up with our work and reports and collected works of hundreds of female reporters and journalists all over the world. At the end, they decided that I deserve the title of the best female reporter in war covering in the Muslim world. I felt it was the first reward after the war. Rewards are not necessarily money or tangible. The idea of having such a title meant that people were following up with what I was doing and appreciating that I was going to death itself for the sake of telling the world that there is a nation being killed and cleansed. There's a nation witnessing the melting of its people by white phosphorus in front of them. I succeeded in delivering this message, and this was what made me happy the most after the war until now. I could deliver the message.
Lots of stories in Gaza, lots of telling stories in Gaza, and lots of people, lots of successful, lots of negative and positive, and sadness and happiness and tears and furs and lots of things that against life and come with life. It's our turn, it's our responsibility as journalists to work in all those and put it in one circle. And then they cannot say that, oh, because you're a woman, you're sexist in this. No, because I am a refugee Palestinian. I know how to speak in my issue and how to present my own issue. This is my issue. This is my homeland.
Thank you.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We start by His name, the Creator Allah. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. And the topic of this episode is the effect of dua of peace of mind. Salamu Alaikum. Today, Friday, is the 7th of Rajab, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Day, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of January, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book and bless this moment by listening to verses 55 and 56 of chapter Al-A'raf.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ادعوا ربكم تضرعا وخفية إنه لا يحب المعتدين.
Call upon your Lord in humility and privately. Indeed, He does not like transgressors.
ولا تفسدوا في الأرض بعد إصلاحها وادعوه خوفا وطمعا إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين.
And cause not corruption upon the earth after its reformation, and invoke him in fear and aspiration. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is near to the doers of good.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Through clear reasons, it is only Allah who is deserved of being worshipped. Next to that, in this verse, the Quran instructs that supplication and calling to Him, which is the soul and essence of worship, should be performed before Allah. This instruction in the verse, which says to call on the Lord secretly, is for that this action may be performed far from any dissimulation so that it becomes nearer to sincerity. It must be done with concentration of contemplation and attention. Remember, we have spoken about the effect of dua of peace of mind till this episode, and now we continue. Dua means invocation, to call out, and is an act of supplication, meaning asking or being for something earnestly and humbly. For Muslims, it is an act of worship in which we ask Allah for His forgiveness and mercy, to grant us His favors and answer our requests. Dua is one of the most important tools handed by Allah and humanity, an immensely personal means for us to communicate and connect with the Almighty. A dua is our conversation with our Creator, the relay of our thoughts and words to Him. We can use any words, ask for anything, for good in this life and the hereafter. We can ask for ourselves, our friends, families, strangers, those in need, for the Ummah and humanity.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Today we are going to talk about the role of dua in mental and physical health. The fourth effect of supplication is hope and vitality. Anyone who wants to face life's challenges with a cheerful in spirit and high morale and continue their life with hope and confidence must resort to supplication. Supplication to God gives hope and strength to a person. They feel that they are relying on a secure sanctuary, thus feeling a sense of joy and capability. If the connection with that source of greatness and mercy is severed, feelings of loneliness and anxiety arise, leading to mental illness. Many psychologists and psychoanalysts have pointed to this reality, considering faith in God as the basis and foundation for the prevention and treatment of mental illness. The fifth effect of supplication is cultivation of mental focus. Mental anxiety and psychological tensions are deadly diseases that threaten contemporary humanity. Psychoanalysts and scientists try to find ways to reduce the mental burden of humans and give rest to their minds and spirit, saving them from psychological changes. Controlling these mental scatterings and internal tensions is the first condition for achieving genius, insight, and understanding of issues. For this reason, places intended for study and research are designed to be the calmest, most pleasant and most delightful places to facilitate mental concentration and relieve anxiety. If worship and prayer are performed within internal and external conditions, they not only focus the mind but also illuminate and purify the inner self. If a person has fully understood the presence of the heart and attention in prayer, they can focus all their mental faculties on one thing at the moment, and that is their Lord.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
And dua is good tools for increasing love between Muslims. Our religion has the most beautiful greeting, Assalamu alaikum, or peace be upon you. The act of greeting another Muslim is a dua in itself. It's also an easy way to increase the love we have for each other. By him, in whose hand is my life, you will not enter Jannah until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. Shall I inform you of something which, if you do, you will love one another? Promote greetings or salam amongst yourselves. That was from Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny. We should strive to increase our salam to our fellow Muslims. Now, dua to remove sadness from heart. Sadness can often weigh down our heart, making it difficult to experience joy and contentment. A profound dua to remove sadness is, O Lord, I am your slave, your servant, and the son of your servant, and the son of your maidservant. My forelock is in your hand. Your command over me is forever executed, and you and your decree over me is just. This dua derived from the hadith reflects total submission to Allah's will, seeking His aid in alleviating sadness.
The Imam says, if you really want to make a valid dua that's going to be answered by Allah and it's beneficial for you, say, oh Allah, don't give me a trial that will make me lose my deen, that will make me lose my akhlaq. That trial, please, protect me from it. But try me. I understand that I have to be tried. And give me the strength to face these challenges of life. But we expect Allah, no, not to try us, to give us the answers. Like the person who's in the exam hall, hey, professor, where are you? Wait. Finish your exam, and then your school will help you, your professor will help you, you'll get your residency, you'll pay off your loans. Just be patient. Go through the trial, and you'll see the results. For the next 50 years of your life, you'll get paid well. Allah's saying, wait, be patient. I have answered your dua, but you'll see the full effect on the day of judgment. Be patient. And over there, you're in greater need. That's another very important aspect of dua to consider. The third aspect of dua in this discussion, as we are trying to find out how is dua beneficial, and why is it that there's no guarantee for me that Allah will answer my dua, is that Allah always wants to keep His servant between al-khawf wal-raja, between fear and hope. Allah doesn't say to the sinful person, hey, you're sinful, your dua is not going to be accepted. No, Allah wants you to have hope. Even the sinful one, Allah says, you should have hope. I might forgive you. I might answer your dua. Never stop. Don't say now that there's no guarantee for my dua to be answered, why should I bother? No, bother. Allah might answer you. And for those people who are in a good state, right? Those people who, let's say, who are not sinful, they're on the path of truth. Why should I do dua? Alhamdulillah, I'm good. My deen is good. My family is good. My financial status is good. Why should I supplicate? Allah says, no, supplicate. You never know what happens. Maybe that will be taken away from you. Keep supplicating. So Allah always wants you between hope and fear. Between hope and fear. Because that's how the believer is disciplined. On the one hand, he fears the consequences of his sins. On the other hand, he doesn't feel too safe. Yes, I have iman right now, alhamdulillah, but don't feel too comfortable. Shaitan can make you slip in an instant. Always be between hope and fear. Never lose hope, but always fear the consequences of your sins.
That was all for this episode of today's special. We were speaking about dua. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic on the next episode. Till then, we leave you in Allah's blessings. Have a nice time.
Crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies,
My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.